Well, for those of you that know, this past week, Don and I just got back yesterday because we were down in Virginia because Sarah Dunn and Christian is now Sarah Samaniego, which took me a little while to get that name down right, but I got it. So they got married Friday, and it was a beautiful wedding. So those of you who are praying, thank you. They're just an awesome and beautiful couple. But I also knew I was planning on doing a message this morning, but then I was talking to Don about it about a month ago, and I said, you know, I just want to enjoy. I love the Duns. I've watched those kids grow up. I said, I just want to enjoy the days with the family and with them. So I asked Jim Pinkelman, come on up here, Jim. I asked Jim if Jim would just give the word for this morning. So, Jim, I am honored that you're doing it. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for Jim. I thank you for the heart that you've given him for you. And I thank you for the word that he has already, that you've placed in his heart that he's going to share with us. We are ready to receive the fullness of it. We just praise you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 So I got my notebook ready. Jim, fill us up.
Fill that thing. Well, it's funny, before Todd asked me, it's funny how the Lord works. He always puts something in my heart before Todd ever asked me. So I'm always ready to go before Todd asked me. So, and that happened this time, too, because I think when you asked me, I said, oh, yeah, I think the Lord's got something he wants me to share. I'm like, okay, cool. So let me start off by asking you a question. How many people, wait for it, how many people enjoy waiting? I thought I'd get some laughs on that one. We hate waiting, right? Yes, it's horrible. Sometimes it's terrible. So I hope by the time I ask that question, because I hope by the end of today, you'll understand the value of what it means to wait. As the Lord put this on my heart, it throws in the face of a contrast of our society of instant gratification, doesn't it? We, in our society, I see it. I teach high school at CCS, Little Christian, and it is amazing to me. You know, the kids, they will not wait for anything. I got to have it now. Tell me now. So they're on. And, you know, some of that can be good, but some of it can be bad. Because I think sometimes we do need to wait. And a lot of times we do wait. You know, look at society. Take, for example, Jimmy John's. You guys have seen the commercials. Jimmy John's subs, they will lead you to believe in their commercials that you can have your sub the instant you order it. The commercial, if you've seen it, is this little boy. He's trying to be cool in middle school. He's at the cafe. He's at the lunch table, and he's got his phone, and Jimmy John's is there with a sub. He looks to his girl next to him. He goes, yeah, I had an order in. And he's just like, I forgot my lunch. But they would lead you to believe they can have that food for you right there and now, right? And we all want that, right? We don't want to wait. My son works at Amazon, so I also know that Amazon is also working towards instant gratification in society, if you guys are familiar with Amazon and the size of that company. But they recently, in certain markets, especially where they have a distribution center, they will guarantee 30-minute delivery if they have your order in stock. 30 minutes. What they're doing is they're hiring Uber drivers to come pick up orders that they can only deliver within 30 minutes. So the Uber drivers are, so 30 minutes. I don't know what they would have in stock, but I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. They got one of everything, at least. So it's just amazing. So these types of things are becoming more and more commonplace today, right? Kind of a funny story. We helped my daughter pay for a car, coming back from college, and we bought over here at the Ed Schmidt, and I literally went in with my credit card, shoved it in the little machine, and it was paid for. Now, she's going to pay us back, but that's her problem. But it's just that instant gratification that we have to have in society today. But the question I have for you today is, what have we lost along the way? I mean, some things it's not so bad. You get that right away. Yeah, you can get it, so we don't have to wait. It's okay. But what have we lost along the way? I want to suggest to you today that the shorter we wait for something, or the less time we wait for something, it has less intrinsic value. So the Jimmy John's, let's compare two different things. Let's compare two extremes. We got, on one hand, Jimmy John's subs we can have in instantaneously, and the return of Christ. Yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't it? You put it that way. Which one holds more value? Well, obviously, the Jimmy John's sub. No, I'm just kidding. No, obviously, the return of Christ holds a whole lot more value to us than that Jimmy John's sub that we're going to order, get, have delivered, and eat in 30 minutes, and then forget about it, right? We're going to forget about that sub, but the return of Christ is always on our minds. We're waiting with anticipation. So I suggest that, again, I think we have lost some things about what value, what things are important to us. So again, as I prepare for this, I found out that the Bible, you always talk about the Bible as a redemption of Israel, the Bible's about this. The Bible has a lot to say about waiting, and I didn't realize it. As I was looking for examples of people who are waiting, the Bible is seriously full of people who have waited and waited and waited. That's what we had. So here are some examples. Somebody tell me what's the one thing that comes, who waited the longest, or what group of people waited the longest to do something, get into the promised land? Yes, Israel waited for how many years? 40 years to get into the promised land. A whole generation. Another one. I'm familiar with this one because I'm more interested in the prophetic. But Elisha, what did Elijah wait for? The mantle, yes. He wanted a double portion of Elijah's mantle. And he waited, and Elijah said to him, hey, yeah, you can have, but you have to see me be taken up first. And Elijah said, okay, let's go. And he didn't take his eyes off of him until he received that. Another one. Elijah's another Elijah story. It's in 2 Kings, at the beginning of 2 Kings. I'm sorry, nope. 1 Kings 17:9. Getting ahead of myself. There was a woman and a son, and Elijah came to them and said, there was a famine in the land, everybody knows this. And he came to this woman and he said, hey, make me some bread. And the woman's like, what? No, can't do that. I've got one little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to go and make my son and myself a little bit of bread, and we're going to wait to die. Whoa. So they waited. Another example. I'll keep going. Jonah in the belly of the whale. 3 days he waited. Well, he probably didn't feel like it was waiting on his part, but God put him there to wait because there were some things that we'll talk about here in a second that God wanted to show Jonah about value. Israel, as a nation, is still waiting. If we believe and accept the timeline of the Bible, they've been waiting 6,000 years for Jesus to show up the first time. 6,000 years. Holy cow. Plus or minus. Holy cow. It's a long time. Well, let's contrast that with us as believers, Christian believers. How long have we been waiting for Jesus to come back the second time? 2,000 years, plus or minus a day or two. 2,000 years we've been waiting. That has a lot to say about the value of those events, doesn't it? Jesus went to the desert for 40 days. He waited. In a sense, he waited for his ministry to start, right? That was really the crowning moment, the crowning time. He came out of that 40 days in the desert, and that was when he began his ministry. How about those people in the Bible who were healed or delivered by Jesus? They were waiting a lifetime with that devil in them, with that disease, with that broken arm, with that crippling thing. One of my favorite stories, I don't know if it's a favorite story, one of my stories I find most intriguing is the man who was crippled at the pool of, correct me if I'm say this wrong, Salome? Is that Salome? Salami? Thanks, Caleb. Salami. It's Salami. Salome. But the story goes, if you're familiar with the story, that all these people would wait around the pool, and when the pool would wave or have a little flicker of a wave in it, that was, as legend would say, there was an angel who came and put their finger in the, and the first person in the water would be healed. Well, this poor guy was crippled. He was never going to get in that pool first. But he sat there and still waited. He had hope in something. I'm like, okay. Can't get my head around that one, but it's just very intriguing. How about Saul / Paul? He was blinded. He waited to be healed and for someone to come to heal him. But did he know? I don't know if he knew he was waiting. He thought he was probably going to be blind for the rest of his life. But he came and was healed. He had to wait. I kind of wonder what went through Paul's mind at that time. You know, gosh, what am I doing here? What am I, what's, what the, I mean, what a amazing, that's a whole sermon in itself. There you go. How about Abraham and Sarah? They were over 100 years old when they had their first child. They waited. Can you imagine? Again, another sermon in and of itself. You know, Abraham, what's going through his mind? You know, not to be too graphic, but month after month, my wife's not getting pregnant, I'm getting pregnant. What is going on here? You know? But he waited. They waited. And they were, God was faithful to them. How about Noah? Classic stories. You know, we always see about Noah waiting in the ark for however many days, I think it was 40 days as well, for the waters to subside, and finally the waters subsided. But let's think about this. How long did he wait for the rain to come? He had to wait for, I mean, he was building the ark. We see the movie, if you ever saw that, or some of the movies that with, Steve Carell? He did play Noah. If you ever saw that movie, the minute he finished building the ark, it started raining. I don't know if it happened that way. Maybe he finished the ark, and 10 years later, it started raining. I don't know, but there was some period of time. Gosh, what a long time to wait. But each one of these things speaks to the value that the events hold, that we're waiting for. And also, you see the waiting. Each one of these things, as they've waited through the process, ended in a positive result. Something positive came of each one of these things. So let's kind of just real quick go through those and see about, talk about value. Israel in the desert 40 years. The value, the positive thing that resulted was the promised land. They held huge value because that generation, they had to wait for that, saw it. Think about it. They were probably, you know, little tiny kids at the time. They saw the promised land from us. They had that vision. They valued that land. It was huge. They seriously valued it. That's what kept them waiting. Elisha, I think the moment he saw or came to know Elijah, knew that's what he wanted, and he was not going to settle for anything less. He valued that anointing. You know, many of us, well, all of us are anointed as kings and queens, right? Sons and daughters. Do we value that? What value do we have in that anointing? Because it didn't come to us. You know, for me, I didn't become saved until I was well into my 20s, almost 30. What value do we hold in that? But it was a positive thing for Elisha. And the woman and the son with the bread, she valued that bread and oil because it was their lifeline. It was everything that they had, everything they waited for. I don't know that she was waiting to die. I think what she really didn't understand is she was waiting for God to deliver her. I don't think she realized it. Because God did deliver her. The positive thing that came out is after she made that, the flour and the oil did not go empty until the famine was over. And she had enough food for her and her son through that famine. That's value. What value do we put on that? And the positive result? They lived. They didn't have to wait to die. Obviously, Israel waiting for the first return of Christ, huge value, positive result, Christ returning. Us as well, second returning of Christ, huge value. We look forward with anticipation, which we'll talk about a little bit more, for Christ's return. Huge value. Jesus in the desert for 40 days. Well, this one I kind of got stuck on. I'm like, okay, what value does Jesus, Jesus values obedience to the Father, right? God called him out into the desert. God led him to the desert. Jesus valued that time in the desert with the Father in preparation for his ministry. And the positive result, obviously, was, you know, a ministry to save the world. And all those who have been healed by Jesus, we can see that, yeah, they were either hands restored, be able to walk again, delivered of demons. Positive results. They valued, I don't know what they were, they valued being whole. I'll talk about this too in a little bit. You know, there are some things that I'm dealing with physically right now that I've come to learn the value of being healthy and whole. Because I'm not 100% there right now. So I'll talk about that some more. Saul, Paul. Gosh, I think during that time he must have become to learn the value of the ministry that God has probably placed on him, or the anointing that God has placed upon him. I would have to think that something like that had to take place. And the positive result was the gospel got sent to the Gentiles, to everybody. Positive things happened. Abraham, obviously Abraham, Sarah, they had a child. They valued that child because why? Because God promised them to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the sea. Yeah, he promised it. So he valued God's word. And the positive result was, got a little kid. Awesome. And Noah waited for the rain, waited for it to go away. He valued, again, the word of God, what God wanted him to do, and that relationship and obedience to God. And the positive result was, it was unfortunate that a lot of people died. In fact, everybody in the entire earth except Noah and his daughters and sons. But the positive result was that God promised he would never flood the earth again. And we have that promise every day, or every time we see a rainbow. He's never going to flood the earth again, even though it rains torrentially for days on end. So let me ask this question now. What do you wait for? You know, there's lots of things in the physical that we wait for. What are some of those things in the natural, what are some of those things in the spiritual as well that we wait for? We pretty much wait for everything, right? It seems like we're always waiting for something. We went on vacation a couple weeks ago, and we were down in Norfolk, Virginia. And if anybody's familiar with that area down there, there's literally one bridge and one tunnel to get in and out of that stupid city. And wouldn't you know it, every day when we went sightseeing, what did we have to do? We had to go over the stupid bridge. And it doesn't matter what time you go, there's somebody that has a broken down car or somebody has an accident. And we had to wait and wait and wait. And we thought we were in good shape on the Saturday we were coming back because Saturday morning, nobody's out and about, good deal. It took us an hour to go 44 miles. Because there was accident. Yeah, it was. Huh? 24 miles. Oh, got the wrong one. 24 miles. It took an hour to go 24 miles. Because it seemed like every 5 miles, there was somebody who had their car broke down, or there was an accident, or we're like, what is this? It's Saturday morning. Be home in bed eating breakfast. Come on. But we had to wait. But the end result was, whew, we got home. Thank goodness. So anyway, there's lots of things we wait for. Let me run through a few of them. Babies. We all love to wait for babies, don't they? And unfortunately for the poor mother who's been carrying the baby for 9 months, those last 2 weeks are an eternity. Will it ever come? Schedules, appointments. We're always waiting for somebody or something to come up or something to happen, right? People. We're always seeming like we're waiting for people to get to. You know, that's probably one of the biggest struggles that the kids at TCS have, or as a teacher, that, you know, that bell rings, they're supposed to be in the classroom. And like, come on, kids, come on, hurry up, let's go. They just seem like they'll wait to the last second to get into that classroom. How about food at a restaurant? We determine whether a waiter is good or bad, whether how quickly our food comes, right? kids, or actually some of us who are still kids at heart, waiting to grow up. Don't rush it, kids. Take your time. Enjoy life. It's good. Waiting on a phone call, an important phone call. Waiting on an important email. Traffic, as I mentioned already. Payday. Always waiting for payday, right? Yeah. Holidays. We love holidays. Birthdays. We love birthdays. Waiting for the weekend to come. Yeah. How about these? Answer to prayer. Waiting for an answer to prayer. Waiting to hear from the Lord. It's a little different, but kind of the same. Waiting for healing or deliverance. Those are some of the spiritual things we're waiting on. We always seem to be waiting for something. But even in all these instances, natural, spiritual, physical, whatever they might be, there's always a positive end result, right? Even though we're waiting for a hurricane to come through, if you're residents of Florida or the East Coast, the positive result is that hurricane goes through. And it's past. Sometimes we're in the middle of a serious storm, and it's just, we don't know what we're going to do. But if we wait it through, the positive thing is it goes through. It's done. It's over. It's past. So let me get to some of the tough questions now. I've kind of laid a foundation for waiting and confirmed that, yeah, we do wait. But let me get to some tough questions. Here's a tough one. If God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, why wait? Jesus, get back here and be done with it. Let's get this over with. Why does he wait? Or at least from our perspective, why is he waiting? I don't know. Well, yes, I do know. I have some suggestions for you. This is from the Luke 21:24. This may seem kind of, well, that's a no-brainer, but I think it's important to remember. And it says, I have the NIV, what do we have? New King James Version, so I'm reading from the NIV. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. See, God doesn't want anyone to perish, right? So he is waiting for Christ's return until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. What does that look like? What does that season look like? Don't have an answer for you, but we will know the seasons. We will know the season that when Christ's return is approaching. But so God is waiting for the fullness of the Gentiles to come in. That's one reason why he waits. He's patient. He's kind. So another one. And I hope you got the change on this one, Donnie. Did you get the change on this one? It's Isaiah 30:18, not 30:16 as I had originally. And the NIV says it a little differently. The NASB does a really nice way of saying it. Yes, he waits and waits. But the NIV says, yet the Lord longs, or in this one here should we say, waits to be gracious to you. And he rises to show you compassion, or waits to show you compassion. It goes back to being patient with us. He's very patient with us. He wants us all to come to the fullness of the knowledge of him and his son and his kingdom and everything that he has for us. That's why he waits. He's waiting for certain things to happen. He's waiting for us to come around and figure it out. I mean, if all of us have had children in one way, shape, or form, sometimes we just have to sit back and stand back and go, okay, make your mistakes, because you're not going to listen to me right now, but eventually as we come around, as our kids come around, they do listen. And they say, you know what, Mom, Dad, for whatever reason, I did X, Y, and Z. Thanks for being patient with me and showing your grace. Right? That's what God wants to do. He wants to show us grace and compassion. He's not an angry God. When I first I was in the Catholic Church, I came to go know God as Father. And my father was a pretty stern father, so my image of God the Father was very... But as I became a Christian, I became to understand God is Jesus and God is the Holy Spirit. And I came to understand that part side of him that was compassionate, that was graceful. He's waiting for us to come to him in our needs. Unfortunately, though, this time's going to run short for us at some point. So that's from his perspective about why God waits. How about from our perspective? Well, the big one is to learn patience. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Patience. And, you know, when I first became a Christian, don't pray for patience. God's going to give it to you. Well, I think we don't have to pray for it. God's going to teach us patience anyway because it's one of his fruits. If we have the Spirit in us, we're going to learn to be patient. So from our perspective, one of the reasons why God is waiting is so we learn patience. We go through all these things, all these events, all these life circumstances to learn patience because it's one of the fruits. He wants to see his son in us. Patience. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Shows our resolve. So another reason why we wait or we have that God waits on us or has us wait shows our resolve. And this is in James 4:7. So what do I mean by this? Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, resisting the devil is not a one-time thing, right? It might be. Might work out some for some. I sometimes wish it worked out for me. But it's an ongoing process that we resist and continue resisting the devil, and he will flee from us. So that kind of implies waiting or a period of time going by, patience. But it's to show our resolve. I think as we wait through things, as we go through things, we're showing God, God, I trust in you, and I know that when you decide, you'll either deliver me, you'll get me through the situation, you'll heal me, whatever it is, it shows our resolve and commitment to Christ and his word. Does that make sense? Okay. So it shows our resolve. Why? That's why we wait. Also, it shows what we value. Again, if we're not in a hurry to, if we're just we just go out and do something and be done with it, it has no intrinsic value. But the longer we wait, again, the more I believe it has something as intrinsic value. Something we value more. You know, when you think about, let's say you're going to go to Cedar Point. I would suggest to you that if you decide to go to Cedar Point tomorrow, that trip is going to hold less value for you than if you planned it 2 months from now. Think about that. Things we wait for hold more value to us. Now, here's a good verse that kind of helps us understand why God waits. Psalm 40, verse 1. And it says here, some of you might be familiar with this verse. I get the right page. I waited patiently for the Lord. So here we have waited and patiently in the same verse. Well, that's kind of nice because we learn patience because it's a fruit of the Spirit while I wait. That's pretty good. But what happens when I wait? It says here, he turned to me and heard my cry. And when I first came across this, I'm like, because I waited on him, he turned and heard my cry. Well, that doesn't mean that instantaneously, as soon as I cried, he heard me. No, it took a little time. I don't know why. I can't understand the immensity of God's reasoning. But it took a little time for him to turn and hear my cry. Oh, well, that's pretty interesting. So I can't expect, we have to get our heads out of this instant gratification that, well, God's there for me, going to do it right now, done, move on to the next thing. I think we have to get into this mentality. We have to, cannot forget that it takes time. Things take time to manifest themselves. So let's continue on. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. That's the NIV. What do we have here? Oh, we only stopped at one, didn't we? Ah, I should have did the whole thing. Anyway, that's all right. I'll read it here. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. This is actually verse 2. Slimy pit and out of the muck and mire. Or basically, if you're in the NASB, brought me out of destruction. I waited for the Lord, and he brought me out of destruction. He brought me out of that slimy pit. That's awesome. I'm not going to live there. So that's a hope that we have. We don't have to stay in that slimy pit. And then I'm going to keep moving on here because I got some other verses here. And then he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place of sand. This is still in verse 2. He set my feet upon the rock. He took me out of that slimy pit. He took me out of this destruction that I was in and set my feet firmly on the rock. And who's the rock? Jesus. He set me on rock. And Jesus is the firm foundation. He's the cornerstone. He's all that stuff. He set me on Jesus. What? To me, that was a mind blower. And then, making my footsteps firm. Well, obviously, if you're walking in faith in Jesus, your footsteps are going to be very firm. And you're not going to slip and fall. So when we wait, God will do these things for us. We just have to be patient. And then finally, well, this is my favorite one because this kind of ties it into the. This is verse 3 now, if you can get it. This is the NIV. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. May we see and fear and put. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. This is awesome because in the end, when Christ returns, what does it say? We're going to have a new song. He's going to give us a new song. Now, what is that new song going to sound like? I don't know, but I think it's going to be awesome. So he's going to put a new song in her. Even though we go through this destruction, even if we're pulled out of the slimy pit, we're on the firm rock, we're going to have a new song in our hearts. God's going to give us a new hope, a new new energy, revitalize our lives so we can go on and walk, continue to walk with him as we come through this. But we have to wait on him, and he will do these things for us. I thought that was pretty awesome. So we just have to wait. I know, it's easier said than done, right? Wait, wait, wait. And the infamous words of Inigo Montoya, I hate waiting. If anybody knows Princess Bride, you'll get that. And then another one. Why wait? Going back to our premise here, why do we have to wait? Psalm 27:14 tells us, very simply, wait for the Lord. We're told to wait. And if we value God's word, then we need to wait. But, no, that's not this one. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. We're just told to wait. It's that simple. It's just told to wait. He'll come. He'll be there. It'll happen. And then finally, another reason why we wait. Why do we do all this waiting, waiting, waiting? I'm going to start in verse 19, or actually I'm going to start in verse, it's Psalm 33:20 I gave you, but I'm going to start in verse 18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope is in his unfailing love. Deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Again, he's going to do all these good things for us, but we just need to wait on the Lord. Wait. We don't want to wait, do we? I know I can be very impatient. That's my wife. It's what it is. So I hope I give you some ideas about why we wait. I hope you can apply these to some of the situations as you're in right now. But the next question, the hard question I want to ask, is how long are we to wait? Again, I told you that the time we wait somehow is tied intrinsically to the intrinsic value of something. When my wife and I were first married, or actually when I first became a Christian, we decided to get on a weekly basis to pray, and we had our prayer list. I don't know if you remember the story. And she was working at the pregnancy center at the time. and we had our weekly prayer list, and we'd sit down and pray. Well, there was this one woman, I don't know if you remember this at all, but we prayed for her week after week after week, and I'm like, how much more time do I have to pray for this woman? And then when I come to find out that the woman left, she wasn't working there anymore, I'm like, wait a minute, what am I going to continue praying for a woman you're not even working with anymore? I do. I was just thinking, good, I'm glad you remember. But, and we got this huge argument about it, because she was like, she's very passionate about that kind of stuff, that we need to pray, and compassion. She's just huge compassion. And I'm like, how long are we supposed to pray for people? I mean, 20 years? I haven't seen this person in 20 years. How long am I supposed to pray for these people? The question is, or the answer is, as long as it takes. As long as it takes. I had a nun. I went to the Catholic elementary school when I was a kid. And there was a nun. She was the principal of Immaculate Conception out in Mary Grove. The school has since gone. But before she died, my mom had visited her, had kept in touch with her over the years. And she said to my mom, this was only maybe 5 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, that she was still praying for me. What? It just blew my mind. Why are you doing that? Yeah, or my kids. You know, that's definitely an intercessor right there, number one. But I'm thinking, if she's praying for me, how many other kids was she praying for that she taught when they were little? But we wait for as long as it takes. So how do we know this? How do we know this? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Well, that tells me we wait as long as it takes for the coming wrath. There's wrath coming, and we're going to have to, I think if you're familiar with Revelation at all, there's a lot of bad stuff that's going to happen. We've got to wait through that for God to deliver us from the coming wrath. We wait as long as it takes. And then again, just to confirm what we're talking about, Titus, 1 Titus 2:13. For the grace of God, this is in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly compassion and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to be redeemed us from all wickedness and purity for himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We're waiting for Jesus to return and get us out of this mess. Isn't that awesome? I'm looking forward to it because it's just... But yeah, we're waiting for as long as it takes. And yeah, okay, I'm talking about Jesus' return, but just in the same way that this nun prayed for me, that, you know, my wife and I had a big argument about praying for this woman who we didn't even know anymore, we wait for as long as it takes for whatever, for God to move, for him to turn and hear our cry, for whatever deliverance or healing that it takes. It shows our resolve in the promises of God. As long as it takes. Here's some other verses that I thought were really exciting. Romans 8:23, some of you might know this one. And it says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We wait eagerly. You know, he's going to come one of these days. I'm just going to have to trudge. No, we wait eagerly with anticipation. Yes, he's coming. It's going to happen. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be cool. Yeah, we're getting there. It's coming. closer and closer. Every day we're a step closer. We wait eagerly. It reminds me of the Jesus was commenting on the Pharisees who, when they would fast, go around and beat their chest, wear sackcloth, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not what he anticipates. That's not what he wants. He wants us to be eagerly excited, waiting for his return. Because that goes with, I think it's in Galatians, it tells us that, you know, we need to have a joy, have a reason for the joy that's in our hearts. Well, that joy comes out of us and says, yes, I'm eagerly waiting for the Lord. I don't know when he's going to get back, but woohoo, he's coming. Kind of probably makes Christians a little cuckoo in the head, but anyway. And then Psalm 130, 5 and 6. I waited for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning, more than the watchman waits for the morning. I learned a long time ago that when God says something twice in the Bible, it's really important. So why does my soul wait so much more? Now let's think about why did the watchman look forward to the morning? Because he was all alone, number one. But number two, the night was when the thieves would come because they couldn't be seen. They were hidden under the... He longed to see that first glimpse of the morning coming. Because he knew that the city would be safe. Because he would be standing on the tower, the watchman looking over. He knew that he was safe. How much more are we eagerly looking forward to Christ's return? How much more should we be eagerly just going, oh, look, there's a, I see it on the horizon. Oh, my gosh. He's coming. So this waiting thing doesn't have to be, I mean, it doesn't have to be this whole drudgery. It's something, you know. If we're dealing with some health issues right now, you know, we eagerly look forward to that day that it's going to be over. It's going to be healed. I'll share my story in a second. So, this is why we wait. Why I got lost. So the question I have for you today, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And more importantly, you know, we're always waiting for something. We're waiting on lots of things. But the question I have for you is, what have you given up on? What have you given up waiting for? It's like, you know, this is not going to happen. I'm done. Can't wait anymore. I'm going to do it under my own strength. I'm going to take charge of the situation and do it myself. What have you given up on? For me, I came down with a really bad case of poison ivy the Saturday before we left for vacation. Didn't manifest itself until Tuesday on vacation and ran out, got some calamine lotion. Right now, we're good. We're good. It's getting better. But in that, you know, you've preached on a couple of times about visualizing these things and walking in that healing, walking in deliverance. The body has to line up with what we were professing. And heaven knows I do that. but it wasn't changing. It wasn't until Friday morning. The Lord showed me something in this misery that I was in because I wasn't sleeping at night. I was up Thursday night. I literally was up till 3:30 in the morning and woke up at 7. I couldn't sleep because it itched so bad. And I was like, oh my God, Lord, what? Why? And so Friday morning he said, go work on your message. I'm like, okay, that'll work. And as I was got to this point in the Lord spoke to me. And he said, what you're going through right now is a glimpse of what hell is like. I don't want to go to hell. If this is a glimpse of what misery awaits us in hell, then I'm running the other way. I guess what I mean by that is it was a wake-up call for me to redouble my efforts, redouble my thinking, redouble my commitment, redouble whatever you want to call it, my commitment to the Lord. Because I want to make sure that when I get to heaven, it's going to be, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to go, because if this is, see, here it is. How about that? Isn't that pretty? That's only part of it. I don't want to be there. But that was the lesson that Lord taught me in this waiting process, this two-week waiting process for being healed. And you know what? Friday night, I slept through the night. And that was Friday night. The door, this shifted, this changed where I was sleeping. The itching was going away. And I was like, oh, thank God. You saw me Saturday, yesterday morning. I was just like giddy. I was like, it's all better. But it was what the Lord had to take me through, because on the other side of it was healing. The other side of it was healing. So a couple verses encourage you in this. Hopefully they will encourage you. 2 Corinthians 4:1. And this is kind of tied into the end of chapter 3 as well. And the end of chapter 3 says this, "And we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed," that's awesome, "into his likeness, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Now here's chapter 4. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry," the ministry of our unveiled faces, "we do not lose heart." Do not lose heart, he says. The time is coming when Jesus is going to return. The time is coming when you're going to be delivered, when you're going to be healed, when that prayer is going to be answered, you're going to hear from the Lord. All these things. The time is coming. Do not lose hope. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it goes on to even says even more. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles these are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So we do not lose hope. I encourage you, if you're going through something today, if you've got something that you're struggling with, something you've been praying for years, do not lose hope. It's coming. I can't give you an answer, but we wait for how long as it takes. Wait for as long as it takes. Okay, so I want to leave you with one last thought this morning. And this was something I've always wondered about. Does God wait? Does God wait? At the beginning of this message, I said there are some reasons why God waits. For the fullness of the Gentiles to come in, to teach us patience, fruits of the Spirit, you know, some of those things. Does God wait? And I think part of the answer is yes. God does wait in some instances. But there are some instances when I've heard over the years, you know, Christians, "Well, I'm waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord." And I had someone share this story with me one time, or this illustration. I don't know if you guys either play chess or checkers. But our lives are really... we're playing a game of chess or checkers with God. God's on the other side. Now, some people are waiting for God to move. "Oh, I'm just waiting for God to move. Waiting for God to move." You know, that move the next chess piece, move the next checker piece. Just waiting for God to move. Well, maybe God's already moved, and it's your turn to move. That was the lesson I learned. God's waiting for you. God's not waiting to move. God's moved. He's waiting for you to move now. Does that make sense? And I wonder, you know, as I've been a Christian since 89, and I've watched people come and go in my life. I've watched people at churches. And it seems to me, I just want to think about this. It seems to me that people who are moving in the Lord are the ones that are most attentive to his moving. Where is he going right now? Where is God going right now? And I'm going to follow. Elijah and Elisha. Elisha says, "You know, where are you going, Elijah? I'm following so I can get a double portion." And this really challenged me too, because there was a time in my life when I would literally go wherever I felt the anointing was. Ohio Prophetic Conferences back in the day, if you're familiar with those. One time we had an opportunity, some friends of mine, to go down to Only Belief Ministries, see R.W. Schembach. Anybody know who he is? Oh, good old Holy Ghost preacher. Listen to him on WJYM, right? Yeah. And we went down to Only Belief Ministries because we wanted to get an anointing. We wanted to get a touch. And we got there late. Great story. We got there late. We were sitting up in the, and literally after the service was over, we walked down. He walked directly to us, shook every one of our hands. There was four of us. What? But we knew God was moving in that man. We wanted something of that. So I suggest to you today, stop waiting for God to move and look and see where he is moving and go there. That's what I suggest to you today. Because the time is growing short. You've heard that for years. I've heard it for years since I got involved in the prophetic, probably in the late 90s. God's going to come. God's going to come. But you know what? He is. I don't know when, but I am eagerly awaiting for that return. It's going to happen. Your healing is coming. Your deliverance is coming. The answers to prayer are coming. He will hear your cry and turn to you and lift you up out of that miry pit. Set your feet on the rocks. You have a firm path to walk on. He will do that. I hope you're encouraged by this morning, and I hope that there's a nugget of this that you can take with you throughout the week. So let's pray. Father God, I just ask, Father, that as each and every one of these considers those things they're waiting on, Father, that they would really, their hope would be renewed in you. That their time that they've waited would only seem like a moment to what's to come. That, Father, you would answer their prayer. You would find, give them healing. You would give them deliverance. That you would give them a reason or a thing to look, to be hopeful in. Just a glimmer of hope to renew their strength, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for each and every person here, Father. I thank you for those who are not here and just ask you bless them, Lord. You are just a great and awesome God, and we look forward eagerly to the return of your Son, that he will come and deliver us from all these things and will set up that new kingdom, the new Jerusalem, Father. We thank you and praise you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.